Game on.
Athletics.
Anna Hall moves away. The gold medal is about 100 metres away from her, and the silver medal is around 100 metres away from Kate O'Connor right now. It hurts, but she's giving it everything. The knee hurts, I'm sure, and there's a slight element, maybe even of a slight limp, maybe not, but certainly Kate O'Connor is doing all she needs to do here. Kate O'Connor is the World Championship silver medalist. What a thing to be able to say. Oh, injury or not, she ran a really, really strong race. Not far off her best. And considering the effort that she's put in over the seven events, including a best in the javelin off a Bocchetti knee.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It was everything that I could have dreamed of. Seeing all the Irish flags out there as well was so nice, and all the familiar faces. Such a proud moment.
You've had amazing support, and even there in front of that stage, so many Irish.
Oh, 100%. It was class. Like, those are so far away from home, but it's just so nice to actually still feel the love and the support here. And obviously, everybody at home watching too. I've seen it on social media. I haven't been on too much, but I plan on going through everything and, yeah, saying just thanks to as much people as I can.
This medal now puts you up with some of the greatest Irish athletes ever. Has it sunk in?
No, not at all. And I think it'll be a while till it sinks in. Like, sometimes I'm standing here and I'm like, still feel a little bit like an imposter. I think it'll just take a wee while to like realise what I've done and realise that like I do fully belong here. But it's really exciting.
This medal is obviously around your neck, but an awful lot of people have made it happen. Your dad, Tom, and the whole kind of backroom team. You know, what would you like to say to them?
I feel like I'm going to be forever in debt to them. Winning this medal wouldn't have been possible without the team that I have around me, the support, the love, the kindness that they all show, the dedication. It's not just from me, it's also from them. So yeah, I'll have to say thank you every day now for the rest of my life, because moments like this don't happen without support like that.
And going back to yesterday, obviously plain sailing on day one, and then day two yesterday, the injury, the knee, you've got through it, you're now on the podium. All of that turmoil, you know, when you look back now, how does it make you feel?
I feel like I fought really hard, and I think that like in days to come I'll look back and I think it'll be a great story to tell in the future, how I like fought through adversity and still managed to come out the other side. I'm so proud of myself, so proud of my team, I finally have it hanging around my neck.
It's four medals this year, but this one's probably a little bit sweeter, is it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, like, winning a world outdoor medal is like the stuff that I would have dreamed of like as a kid, and like these girls that I'm competing against, I watched them growing up and now I'm beating some of them, so it's insane.
So what's next?
Chill out. Just chill out. I haven't really thought too much about next year or what's coming up. I just want to live in this moment and enjoy it as much as I can, and then I'll just take whatever comes my way, my stride, but I'm definitely looking forward to building on this, but a couple of weeks off now is well deserved.
Take whatever comes in her stride. Well, she most certainly took Tokyo in her stride. Kate O'Connor, Ian O'Riordan from the Irish Times, joins us now. Ian, what a performance. What an athlete. What a year for Kate O'Connor.
It was, Ruby. Yeah, no, just that was the first time I've heard Greg Allen's commentary there. And I suppose, a bit like myself, Greg's been knocking around the sport for many years. And I think it's fair to say none of us really had ever even imagined that we'd have a best all-round athlete in the world, a multi-event athlete, man or woman. And for Kate O'Connor to do that essentially in 1 year, I mean, she's competed before in the Olympics last year, we know, but I mean, to come out this year, win a European indoor medal, a world indoor medal, the World University Games, and then a world championship medal, is really absolutely astonishing. And I think I'm at the age as well to remember, I suppose, 1983, the first world championships in Helsinki, when Eamon Coughlin famously won his gold medal, and that iconic moment when he passes the Russian and clenches his fist. But I mean, Coughlin was an absolutely seasoned athlete then. He'd finished fourth in the Olympics, and he was world record holder indoors in the miles. He was a really established athlete, and I suppose that's the kind of athlete it takes maybe to win a world championship medal. And people maybe thought this was going to happen all the time at world championship level. Instead, it was Sonia Sullivan was the next athlete to win in 93, and then you're waiting another I don't know how many years for Gillian O'Sullivan, and then Olive McNan in the walks, and then of course Rob Heffernan. So like, these medals don't come around very often. I mean, she's only the sixth Irish athlete to win a medal in the World Championships, and as she said herself, she's 24 years old and only getting going. And then of course 70 minutes later, Keane McPhillips very nearly outdoes her and nearly wins the gold medal, because I swear to God, if there was another 10 metres in that race, he would have won the gold medal, because he was finishing faster than everyone. I think he timed his effort almost to perfection, but unfortunately just ran out of track. But he's only 23. That was his first world championship. So, I mean, in those two performances alone, it's unquestionably, I suppose, the best championships Ireland has ever had. But if you look at the depth as well, if you look back and think, we've had seven top 12 overall, top 12 kind of being the sort of finalist sort of level. So we've had seven top 12, and that's definitely more than we've ever had. Three national records, obviously. McPhillips breaking it twice. And I definitely think athletics is in a good place. And of course, this is without our two best athletes, Rashid Adeleke and Kira McGee. And for sadly contrasting reasons, we're nowhere near Tokyo. Well, actually, I think Rashid was in Tokyo as a spectator. But 2 years ago at the World Championships in Budapest, they both finished fourth, a close fourth. And you're kind of thinking, well, their chance might come now in Tokyo. And Rashida came out again last summer, finished fourth in the Olympics. So it goes to show there's no guarantees at the same time. That it's nice to think that obviously we'll see a lot more of Cater Connor, and we will. And I'm not certainly trying to dampen the mood here at all, but I think she's right there. She said it herself. Just enjoy the moment now for what it is. And she'll worry about the European Championships next year. And God, I can even mention the next Olympics in Los Angeles. But in terms, as I say, of the actual Irish performances, it's been the best ever.
I think one of the greatest phrases ever in sport was seeing is believing. And when you see what Cate O'Connor, Keane McPhillips, you mentioned Kieran McGeehan, Rashid Adeleke, when you look at what Irish athletics has achieved in the last 18 to 24 months, surely it's inspirational. It's encouraging more people, and the future is only getting brighter.
Yeah, they are role models, and that's why just listening to Cate O'Connor there, like, so thoughtful, so articulate, so appreciative as well of her situation. And one thing that's worth pointing out about both Cate and Keane is they're entirely homegrown. I mean, I've made the point before that a lot of our athletes have had to go away. We've got a great tradition of American scholarships. I went there myself many years ago because that was kind of the thing you had to do, was go to America to kind of pursue your career. And it's worked for Rashida, but I think Cate O'Connor, she's coached by her father. She's completely homegrown. Keane McPhillips is up in UCD now, but still has the same coach, Joe Ryan, who he's had for years when he first came through in Longford. So I think that's a big lesson as well, how important it is to put yourself in the right environment. And but I mean, funny, I'm still trying to get my head around that men's 800 metres, by the way. I mean, it was the times in that race alone were just nuts. I mean, he would have won the Keane McPhillips would have won the gold medal in every other world championships with that time, with his 142.15. I mean, I think it was the first time ever it has been the top eight men all ran sub 143. It was a championship record. So to do that kind of performance, as he said himself, it took the three Olympic medalists to beat him. So I'm not comparing performances at all, because I mean, Cate had to beat the Olympic champion and the world champion as well. So that was the standard that we're talking about here. There was no sort of weakness in either of those events. So it's really positive there. But again, it's not getting too carried away. There's another world championships before the Los Angeles Olympics in 2028. So there's a long way to go in the next Olympic cycle. But at the same time, I don't think athletics could be in a better place right now, building on that in terms of the depth, in terms of the range of performances and young athletes coming through as well. I know it wasn't a great championship for Sophia Sullivan. She had some injuries, but she definitely showed her potential again. I was looking at some names there. Dara McElhenney as well in the 5,000 metres ran very well. We had finalists in the men's and women's 1,500 metres, and Sarah Healy, Andrew Coskren. Like, that's never happened before. We've had a men's and a women's finalist. So I could go on like that, but I think that's the point to make about these championships. Like, they really were. I mean, looking at the bigger picture, like, World Athletics like to make these kind of claims that they were the most competitive championships ever, but they actually were, because I think it was 53 different countries won medals. That's the most ever. There was a world record. There was nine championship records, 62 national records. So, like, these were definitely the most competitive championships that I can remember as well. So for Ireland to be that competitive on a stage like that, certainly augurs well.
And, you know, give a creditable mention to Fionnuala McCormack as well in the women's marathon. I think that was her best finish in the World Championships with a ninth-placed finish. And we'll come back to the women's marathon in a little while, because I want to ask you something else about that. But going back to Cate, I mean, of the seven events, she had five personal bests, which in a major championships. I suppose that's what you dream of, but it's pretty ridiculous. My question to you is, though, how high is her ceiling? She's obviously looked at each event and thought, I can get a few more points here, I can get a few more points there, I can push this, I can stretch that. How far do you think she can go in terms of her points total?
Yeah, well, I mean, she said, we spoke to her before Tokyo, and she said, if I can break 6,500 points, I'll be delighted, and that might put me in the mix. What did you do? 6,714. So, I mean, it's she's already surpassed, I think, where she thought she was going to be in Tokyo. But you're right. I mean, like, she's a freak. I mean, I mean that in the best possible terms. She is a freak because what she's doing in the running, the throwing, the jumping, making it look easy, which we all know it's not. And again, this is an event where we don't have the tradition of say middle distance running or even sprinting to some extent. So, to answer your question, I'm not entirely sure how much better she can get because she keeps raising the bar for herself. Anna Hall from the USA, who won the gold medal, she's the same age. She's only 24, but she's already broken 7,000 points. So she's going to be around for the next 3 years. And that's the target that Kate wants to aim for now. She's like, I can actually compete with Anna, possibly beat her someday. She didn't have a great, I mean, I'm just looking at the events maybe where she can improve, possibly the shot put. Obviously, we saw she wasn't quite up the top there. But, I mean, her 800-meter time, I mean, to run 209 at the end of a two-day event like that is fantastic. On a dodgy knee, yeah. I mean, the knee thing, we were all scared by that. But look, I'm not playing it down, but I think it was probably more a precaution that she just didn't do the last javelin throw to make sure that she was 100% right. I was wide as she could be for the 800 metres. But again, that's a kind of a gentle reminder that you just don't know. And the first event, the 100-metre hurdles, I mean, you could literally hit the first hurdle and your entire heptathlon challenge is over. So it's fine margins. It's a risk, a high-risk event as well. But she's absolutely timed everything right this year. She didn't compete really. Okay, she did the indoors, but then she only did one outdoor heptathlon. So she was going there at her peak as well. I think it'll be good to have a bit of a down year next year, as in it's only a European Championships, but she'll certainly be going to the next World Championships, which are in Beijing, another long way away, believing now that she can possibly challenge for the gold medal, yeah.
And would she think that she'll be favoured to win a gold at the European Championships in her own mind?
Well, she beat the Katrina Johnson-Thompson from the UK, from Britain's World Champion, so she's right now, she is the best in Europe. And the same with Keane McPhillips. He was the top European in the men's 800, obviously. So, like, no pressure going into, what is it, Birmingham next summer. But, look, that's a long way away yet. But we really hope we'll have Rashid Adeleke back next year as well. And I know Sonia Sullivan wrote a column for us there a few weeks ago. And she got some criticism, I think, for what she said, some of the things she said about Rashida. But this was purely tough love. And I think we've seen that now in the results that we have in Tokyo, that how important it is to be in the right environment and be happy with your setup. Now, I'm not saying there's anything particularly wrong with Adeleke's setup in Texas, but she said herself she had some setbacks, some roadblocks, and she's trying to get herself right again. So sometimes you have to maybe shake things up a little bit. And that was a point Sonia was trying to make, that you need to listen to maybe other people's advice or opinions about where you need to go. Because Sonia went through that herself post Atlanta in 96, all those years ago. So, and again, if you look at Adeleke's event in Tokyo, I mean, Sydney McLaughlin comes out and nearly breaks the world record, which has stood for 40 years. So that event has already moved on. So the sport is constantly changing like that in different events. So we don't know where the heptathlon is going to be next year. Maybe there's another one that's going to come out of the woodwork like Kate has. So there's no guarantees like that. But definitely, I think they're absolutely in the right place now. Like they can build on this. Take them, go back to our coaching team and Dundalk, and the same for Keane in UCD, and they don't need to change anything. They just need to make small little tweaks to try and be that little bit better, because there's no obvious weaknesses right now in either of them, which is a really positive thing as well.
And a question to you about Keane McPhillips as well. Obviously he's always been very quick since he was young, but he got an injury and he really trained on that fast finish, which we all saw and enjoyed and shouted at the television in all of his races, his heats, his semi-finals and his final. What does he have to do to go quicker in the first 400? And will that take away from how he finishes the second 400?
It is. It's a good question, Andrew, and I'm really showing my age now, but I remember Dave Wassel, the American with a cap, who in 1972 Olympics in Munich, I think it was, sat right at the back, and a bit like what Kian did on Saturday, came sprinting down the home straight to win the gold medal, because that was the way that was the strength that he had was his fast finish. And as you say, if you go out fast and you try and stick with the leader, there's a real danger you're not going to finish like that. And I mean, I've no doubt that if Kian had tried to go out in, what was it, 49 seconds, he was about a half a second off that, I think he would have been eaten alive in the home straight. So this is his strength. This is how he runs his race. And I think that will always be the way he runs his race, because he's a very smart guy as well. He's got a great tactical brain, and that's not something that you can take for granted either. Now, he's a student of math, so I assume he can work out his split times pretty good. But look, he'll go away. And don't forget, Kian McPhillips started out really as a 1,500-metre runner. And I think of the late, great Gerry Kiernan, who was always talking about athletes moving up a distance to reach their peak. And I think we will see Kian McPhillips run the 1,500 metres possibly in the next 3 or 4 years. And dare I say, that's where his real potential might shine. Because if he can run a 51, 52 second lap at the end of a 1,500 metres, he's going to be nearly unbeatable. So really exciting times there. But you're right, he's been through some rough period. And I remember him being an outstanding junior. And like, how many outstanding juniors fall through the cracks for a variety of reasons? But he's just kept us. He's been patient. He's shown that resilience to come through. And it's great for him as well. Another, as I say, entirely homegrown athlete who stayed at home. And he paid a lot of credit as well to Martina McCarthy. And I think she's worth a shout out up in the Sport Ireland Institute, who has worked with a lot of athletes, going back to Kieran McGee as well, to develop that strength and speed as well. So it's great to have all this positive talk about athletics that's very much homegrown.
And before we let you go, very briefly, the non-Irish stories that caught your eye during the championships. You had Melissa Jefferson Wooden, the 100 and 200 double. Noah Lyles scorching to a fourth successive world 200 metres. Mondo Duplantis with another centimetre on top of his world record. He gets $100,000 every time he breaks that world record. No wonder he only puts it up by a centimetre ago. And Julia Paternan of Uruguay with that brilliant performance in the women's marathon. She didn't know that she crossed the line. She didn't know she was third. It was only her second ever marathon. That was a great story. What story in the championships caught your eye?
Yeah, well, it was a daily dose, I think. Like, every day there was something like that. And as I mentioned, there was 9 championship records there across the board. But one of the races that really fascinated me yesterday was the men's 5,000 metres, because you had Jacob Ingebrigtsen, who we all know was injured and was trying to salvage something. He couldn't do it. But the American Cole Hocker, you might remember, won the 1,500 metres in Paris last summer. Then he didn't make the final here because he was disqualified. So he came out in the 5,000 metres yesterday and just did exactly what he did. Sat at the very back. I think he was 9th or 10th at the bell. And then he just blew them all away in the last lap and crossed the line to win the gold medal. So that was a huge performance for him. Really, really nice guy. His agent is Ray Flynn, another Longford athlete. So there's another kind of a Longford connection there, which we'll credit. So... But overall, Andrew, yeah, as I say, I think I don't remember championships where every day there seemed to be championship records or really close finishes. I mean, as I mentioned, the women's 400-metre championship record had stood since 1983. Maybe the less said about that, the better. So all around, I mean, Tokyo deserves to take a bow. And it seems like a long way away to the next World Championships, but I think it's going to be a hard act to follow.
Ian, thanks for joining us on Game On. Irish Athletics is on the up, and after the break, we're going to talk English Premier League.
Game On Athletics.